Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. It's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I will remind you again that if you ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our radio program, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Or you can email me, Pastor Showalter at AOL.com. Either way, we will make sure that you get the CD that you desire. Before we get to our message today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we continue our journey through the book of Revelation. And as we do, Lord, we need you. We need, Lord, your wisdom, your insight. We need you to illuminate the verses. And so, Father, we'll trust that you will do so. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you through this radio ministry. And now we pray your blessing upon this program, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program, and I trust you have a Bible with you. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 6, if you would. Revelation chapter 6, that's where we're at right now. We're deep into the chapter. Really, I believe we're going to start in about chapter 12, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to give you somewhat of an introduction here, if I could, just to recap your mind and gather a few thoughts as we go along. Whenever we started into this chapter, we started to look at the seal judgments. We talked about the opening of the first seal and the coming of the Antichrist. And I'd explained to you that he will come, and in order to lead people into destruction, namely Israel, he's going to come and he's going to counterfeit that which God promised in the Old Testament. God had promised a covenant of peace with Israel, and he promised the earth would be redeemed from the curse. In Isaiah 35, 1 and 2, and then verse 7, we read this: "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." In Isaiah 41, 18, 19, and 20, we read this: "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." Then in Micah 4:4 we read this: "But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." It's a little picture of what the kingdom will be like. Now, when Satan is permitted to reveal his masterpiece with the first seal judgment, who is the Antichrist, he will establish a covenant with Israel, and many will buy right into the false covenant. But God will not permit evil to reign, so he will confuse the evil by bringing wars, famines, and death upon the earth, while at the same time, he will be sure the gospel was spread across the earth. Now, some will attempt to explain away the wars, the famines, the diseases, and death, and martyrdom, and as intensified tragedies of what happened over the history of the earth. There have been wars and famines and diseases and death throughout history, but there's never been anything like we shall see in the sixth seal judgment. Okay, so here's what I want you to understand. When those first five seals are opened up, the first one's going to be the revelation and the coming of the Antichrist. The second one's going to be war. The third one's going to be famine. The fourth one is going to be death, where a fourth of the world's population dies. The fifth one will be the martyrdom, where many believers that get saved in that tribulation period, they are going to be slain for their faith. The people of the tribulation are going to do their best to explain that away. Explain it away as to say, well, that's just what the earth's been seeing all along. These things have happened. There's been famines. There's been wars. There's been diseases. There's been death. There's been martyrs in the religious circles. And that's all been over the history of the earth. And so they're going to say that this isn't anything new. But when the sixth seal is opened up, it's going to be something that the world has never seen before. It's going to be, if I could bring you to the first point, earthly and cosmic disturbances. God will be sure that the Antichrist deception is exposed. Watch Revelation chapter 6, 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind." The first thing we need to understand is that these events are still in the first half of the 7 years of tribulation. This is not the same event which Jesus spoke of when he taught his disciples about his earthly return. Matthew 24, 29, and 30. Now, this is not the same event, but let me read it for you. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." This is not the same event which we see in Revelation 6, because this is speaking of events at the return of Jesus Christ, and that is not recorded until we get to Revelation 19. So we must be very careful to keep these events separated. They are not the same. What we're reading about in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 12, are events that are going to happen in the first half of the tribulation period. Let me show you something else that Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew 24, 6-8, he said this, "And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Now listen, next verse, verse 8 of Matthew 24. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." They're the beginning of sorrows. Jesus told his disciples that when the earthquakes start, they're just the beginning of the sorrows, or the beginning of the birth pain, so to speak. Therefore, the events of the sixth seal are still in the first half of the tribulation. They're still in the first half, but there's a lot that we need to consider about this sixth seal being opened up. Listen to what Joel recorded. Joel chapter 2, 30 and 31. Joel writes this, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood." Listen to this. "Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Now, the great and terrible day of the Lord is the last half of the tribulation period. The last half of that. The great tribulation. The first part is referred to in the Bible as tribulation. The last half, the last 3.5 years, is referred to as great tribulation. But what Joel is telling us here is that that God's going to show wonders in the heaven and the earth. There'll be blood, fire, pillars of smoke. Sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before that second half of the tribulation. Let me get you now to the earthquake. In the Bible, there are several earthquakes mentioned. The earthquakes mentioned in Revelation are directly connected with the judgment of God. Now, let me give you a side note for some food for thought here. The earthquakes which happen today are not the judgment of God on mankind. We can know this because today is not the day of reckoning. God is not settling accounts today. That day is yet future. The earthquakes which happen today may be used of God, but they are not the results of the earth. They are not the results of God's judgment falling on the earth per se, but they are the results of the earth being under the curse. Romans 8:19-22. Listen to this, what Paul wrote in Romans. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That could read this way. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, why? Why is the creation waiting for the manifestation of you and I and to return with Jesus Christ? Because the earth is under a curse, and whenever Jesus Christ returns, the earth is going to be restored back to what it used to be whenever God created it, back to Garden of Eden circumstances. Let me keep reading, verse 20. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, the earth didn't choose to be under the curse. God brought it under the curse, but there is a hope. Verse 21, because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now what? Listen to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So the earthquakes and events, the storms and different things that we see today, they are the result of the curse. And today the whole creation groans and travails in pain together right up until this day in anticipation of that day whenever the sons of God, you and I, are going to be manifest in that day. Let me get you back to the sixth seal, if I could. The earthquakes of the tribulation were foretold by the Old Testament prophets. And I want you to listen to these. These are very interesting. Joel chapter 2, 1 and 2, and then verses 10 and 11. Joel wrote this, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not ever been the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide? Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while. Now listen to these words. And I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me get you back to Revelation again, then I want to comment on a few things. The earthquake that happens whenever this sixth seal is opened is an earthquake far worse than the world has ever seen before. Watch 12 and 13 again of Revelation 6. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The word for earthquake here means to shake. Now listen to this. Today, whenever there is an earthquake, it is a shaking because of the earth being under the curse. It is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, anticipating that day whenever it's freed from the curse. But it's going to be different whenever this sixth seal is opened up. The earth will not be shaken because of the curse. God will shake the earth in this one. God will shake the earth. And he will not only shake the earth, but he will shake the heavens. Joel 2:10, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. And the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Haggai 2:6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. You see why the earthquake of Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, this earthquake is far different than what we see today. Because what we see today is the result of the curse. But what the world is going to experience in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and proceeding after that will be, it'll be God shaking the earth. It'll be God shaking the heavens. When his seals open and the events begin to unfold, the sun will become dark and the moon will cast a blood red color. It's interesting now, and I want you to catch this, that on the earth, while the sun will be darkened on the earth, it will still shine upon the moon because the moon's going to give a glow. But on the earth, the sun will not shine. This could be the result of dust particles in the air from the great earthquake, but I tend to think it's the hand of God blocking the light of the sun from reaching the earth. If it were dust particles from the earthquake, then the moon's light would not be visible. God allows the moon to be seen, but the sun is darkened. This then raises a question. Why does God do this? What is the purpose of this? Genesis 1, 14 through 16, I believe, helps us with this. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. One of the purposes of the sun and the moon is to be used by God for signs. I think that's exactly what we're seeing here in Revelation 6:12. It is a sign to the world that the judgment of God, because God desires that all men turn to him for salvation. It is a sign. This is different. This is different. This isn't like anything the world has ever seen before, where the sun is darkened, became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The blood red color, a very eerie picture of what is going to happen. Hebrews 12, 25 through 27 say this. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let me tell you what the writer of Hebrews is doing with his words, attempting to do. He's doing his best to persuade those who are not yet saved to come to Christ. Here in this text, the writer is telling us that God will, in the tribulation, shape the things which are of no eternal value to show men the need to turn to Him. I am reminded that even today, God often shakes the lives of people in an attempt to get them to turn to Him for salvation. He shakes the lives of many people. Years ago, He shook my life by different things that I was permitted to witness: death, destruction. He shakes the lives of many people today. He'll come into your life and He will shake the foundations of your life. He will shake things till they fall apart and everything around you seems to collapse, because He doesn't want you focused on the temporal things. He wants you to focus on eternal things. He wants you to turn to Him so that you will come to Jesus Christ and accept Him, His Son, as your Savior and be forgiven of all of your sins. And so God will shake the foundations and the things which you see as important in your life, He will shake them till they collapse in your life. Let me ask you a question. God been shaking your life lately to get you to focus on that which is eternal? God been shaking the things in your life? Have the things that have been around you that you place so much value on, are they beginning to kind of fall apart? Turn to God. Turn to Him. Focus on that which is eternal. Everything here is going to go away anyhow. It's all going to pass with time. It's all going to go away. You need to turn to God. Let me get you back to Revelation again. Let me give you some thoughts about what effects this earthquake will have. Just so you know. Okay, just so you know, I want you to think about something with me. That this earthquake here shakes the entire earth. Let me read verse 12 again. I beheld when He had opened His sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as hair, and the moon became as blood. So this is something that is going to shake the entire earth. So I want you to think with me about some of the things that are going to happen. Number one, there will be tsunamis in the oceans. I can only imagine what's going to happen to the seaport cities. In 2004, an earthquake hit the west coast of Sumatra, and the tsunami from that earthquake was over 100 feet high. And that earthquake wasn't what this one will be. Now listen to this. It killed between 230,000 and 280,000 people when that wave came ashore. Number two, here's something else. Not only tsunamis, but volcanoes erupting around the globe. There's something known in the Pacific Ocean as the Ring of Fire. In that Ring of Fire, there are some 452 volcanoes. You know, there's a volcano under Yellowstone Park, they say, is the size of Los Angeles, California. I've heard it said that if that volcano were to erupt, everything on the east side of that volcano would be destroyed. That would be you and I, by the way. So you'll have tsunamis, volcanoes. Think of all the gas in the oil lines that are buried underground. Think about that. Think about the power outages. Think about the skyscrapers tumbling to the ground. These are just a few of the catastrophes that will be the results of the earthquakes. Then you got verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Here we see the stars of heaven fall as a result of the great earthquake, because the heavens have also been shaken. The word for stars here is aster, which is the very word we get our word asteroid from. What is described here as the heavens are shaken seems to be a great swarm of asteroids which pummel the earth. Notice verse 14, you see how severe this all is. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and the mountains and islands were moved out of their places. Every mountain and islands moved out of their places. In 2010, there was an earthquake earthquake that struck Chile. It moved one city 10 feet west. In 2011, the main island of Japan was moved 8 feet. In 2004, the earthquake in Sumatra moved the island of Indonesia 100 feet. Those were localized earthquakes. This is a global earthquake. And it shakes the heavens as well as the earth. Then we see that the heavens split, because in verse 14 it says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together." Departed as a scroll. It means that it split wide open. It split wide open. Let me share with you the words of Mills on this event, and I quote, "In order to ensure that there's no misunderstanding on the source of these disasters, God will open the heavens for an instant, and the people on earth will be given a glimpse of God and the Lamb on their thrones. This picture is an extended scroll suddenly being split. The two ends recoil, spring-like, around the end rod to which the scroll is attached. Suddenly, earth can peer into heaven, as Stephen did in Acts 7:56. Man sees him who sits on the throne in the Lamb. Men will know that they are experiencing the wrath of God, and this knowledge will be even more fearsome to them than the great natural catastrophes that will have endured," unquote. What a terrible time. Beyond words to describe. Listen, here's the bottom line, because I'm out of time today. You need Jesus Christ. You need him in your life. You need to repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. You don't want to enter into that period. You don't want to. I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire to hear any of our programs, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.